Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Colleen M., a compulsive overeater from Maryland.
Hi, thank you. Hey, everyone. I'm Colleen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. And I'm so happy to be here. So, you know, I've been in the rooms of the 12-step rooms of recovery for a lot of years. So what I was taught was, you know, we talk about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. So I can say I'm recovered, and I just wanted to put this out here because the Big Book does tell us that we can recover from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I'm here to tell you that I haven't had to eat compulsively, and I haven't eaten any of my binge foods in over 8 years. June the 21st of this year was 8 years that I have been abstinent, weighed and measured abstinence, and I've lost 120 pounds, which I have maintained that for the last 7.5 years. So, yeah, I, like many of us in these rooms, I started my food addiction very young. My earliest memory that I had a problem with food was when I was about 12, and I gained 30 pounds in a year. I did grow up in an alcoholic home, and I don't know if, you know, and this, they talk about this in the Big Book, you know, it doesn't matter whether we were born with this disease or we got this disease along the way. Doesn't matter, but what matters is that I understand that I have a disease. So anyway, I was about 12 when food started working to help me deal with emotions that I couldn't handle. And that went on as I became a teenager to drugs and alcohol, which is a whole nother story. But I've been sober in AA for 26 years. I could belong to almost any 12-step group out there. So I have lots of addictions that I struggle to keep at bay. But the most important, the one that has been the hardest, is my addiction to food. So I was the heavy kid in my family. I have four siblings, and they were all very thin and could eat whatever they want, never seemed to gain any weight. I was always trying to watch my weight, watch how they ate, try to eat like they did. I did all of the things that most of us have done. I've snuck food. I've hidden food. I've stolen food. I've stolen money for food. I have taken food out of the trash can. I've eaten it frozen. I've burnt my mouth eating food that's hot. I've been to multiple diet clubs and diet, you know, I was on the grapefruit diet, the sugar-free diet, the fat-free diet, the cabbage diet, Weight Watchers, you know, lifetime member of Weight Watchers. I was a Weight Watchers instructor for a period of time. And every time I made these vain attempts at losing weight, I've lost, you know, 50 pounds, regained 60, you know, I've lost and gained weight, you know, most of my adult life. And every single time that I would start getting the food down and getting some relief from the self-bereavement that is part of, I think, most of our stories, and starting to feel like I had a little bit of control, I would convince myself that I could eat one of my alcoholic substances, and I was off to the races once again. So, you know, I came to Overeaters Anonymous in 1998 for the first time. I was part of a program called HAL. And they gave me a food plan that I followed, and I lost the 45 pounds that I had to lose at that time. And I don't recall much talk about the steps or the big book. I remember, you know, doing questions and doing a food history inventory. I lost the weight. I did not understand about there that this was a disease and that it was progressive and that it would get worse and never better. I was there basically to get thin and try to save my marriage at that time. I got thin. I didn't save my marriage, but that started my in and out of OA. And I had been going to AA and Al-Anon for a lot of years. So fast forward, I was part of the regular OA meetings way before COVID and Zoom all started. And there was a lot of, you know, a lot of talk, a lot of camaraderie, but no real recovery that I saw. And I just floundered. I knew there was something wrong with the way I ate. I knew that I was different than my fellows, but I really didn't understand that I had a disease. I didn't understand that there were certain foods that triggered the obsession and the compulsion. I knew that when I started eating sweets, that the earlier in the day that I started eating sweets, the worse my day was going to go. So if I could postpone eating sugar and candy, whatever I was into at the time, that my day would go better. But I still did not understand that, that I was addicted to these substances, and these substances were causing a craving in my body that I could not resist. So, while going to regular OA, I gave up sugar, and I did that for about 10 years, and I was able to maintain my weight. I was a size 14, which I thought was really great. You know, as long as you're in the like regular women's clothing and you don't have to go into the plus sizes, I thought I'm doing something good here. And I did that for several years. I stopped going to meetings, and then a thought came to me. You know, this sugar-free stuff, I was eating a lot of sugar-free candy and a lot of sugar. And I don't know if you've eaten sugar-free stuff, but it causes a lot of havoc to the GI system. So I decided in my brilliant thinking that I should just start eating regular sugar. And I think I gained 50 pounds in a very short period. As a matter of fact, my sister came to visit me, and she walked in the door and was like, "What happened to you?" She couldn't even hold it back. I mean, I guess I look so different. I think I gained 50 pounds in a very short period of time. And then I was off to the races. I was, that binge lasted 10 years. I really didn't think I was going to come back from it. So in 2015, I was desperate. I tried everything. I was, like I said, 120 pounds overweight. I needed a new hip, which I was in my mid-50s. I had, I was pre-diabetic. I had high blood pressure. Had a hard time getting around, you know, I had my first grandchild. I couldn't get on the floor and get up and down to play with him. And emotionally and spiritually, I was bankrupt. And that's a lot. I think, you know, we focus so much on the physical aspect of our disease, and not everyone that has this disease wears it. I'm glad I did, because I probably would have denied it if I was thin and in a normal sized body. But the emotional damage that this disease does and the spiritual damage that it had done to me was, I had no idea until I got abstinent and started working the steps. So anyway, 2015, I was hitting rock bottom. My life was kind of in chaos. I started going back to OA meetings, got a sponsor who for 2 years tried to talk me into sending her my food and committing my food. And I was having no parts of that. Why she stuck with me, I don't know, but God bless her that she did, because I stuck around. She recommended that I go to 90-day and just listen, because these people have really good recovery. And, you know, they're not like us. I mean, we don't have to be like them. We don't need that strict, you know, but, you know, they have really good recovery. So I started listening to these 90-day meetings, and I was like, oh my God, yes, this is me. Yes, this is me. And I really needed the discipline. So I finally, in 2017, June the 21st, asked someone, or got a sponsor, and started working the program through the 90-day program. And I've tried a lot of different OA programs. It can be very confusing because there's so many different little groups in OA. So, you know, I got a strict sponsor. She gave me a food plan. She helped me figure out how to finagle life on this food plan. How do I go to parties? How do I, you know, how do I socialize? How do I go out to dinner? You know, how do I do these things and stay abstinent? And so I thought I was going to get divorced the first 6 months. My husband was furious that, you know, what do you mean you can't go out to in 90 days? You're not allowed to eat out for 90 days. And if you do eat out, you have to take your own food. There's all kinds of rules. He was livid. I really thought, this is it. My marriage is going to be over. But, you know, when you're ready, you're ready. And I was ready to make some changes. I guess I hung around in the rooms long enough to be convinced that I was one of you, and that it drastic measures were needed. So I put the food down, and, you know, I got to tell you, you're going to go through some withdrawals. There's going to be a couple weeks where it's not going to be pleasant, but, you know, when you can get defogged from the food, and all the emotions are going to start coming up, and this is why I ate. I don't want to feel all this stuff. This feels terrible. But you know, our feelings aren't going to kill us. That's one thing I did realize too, that I can feel feelings. They're not going to kill me. I don't need to stuff food down my throat in order to live through some difficult feelings. And, you know, I worked the steps, which took like a year. And we did a lot of, you know, you have to do 3 meetings. You have to make 3 calls a day. You have to, you know, there's a lot of rules, writing, you know, literature. And that's all great stuff. And especially when you're new and you're getting started, I needed all of that. Then I started listening to the Vision for You. So I was abstinent for about 2 years before I started listening to Vision for You. And then I heard something even different there. Like, I heard this freedom. If I felt like in 90 day, there was always this fear of relapse, you know, like if I don't make my 3 calls, if I don't, you know, do this, if I don't do that, I'm going to pick up, you know. I truly believe, for me, if I believe for all of us, if you're ready to recover, a monkey can be your sponsor. And if you're not ready to recover, Bill Wilson can be your sponsor and you won't recover. So, for me, I have conceded to my innermost self that I have this disease, and I will fight to keep my abstinence and do this work with everything in me. And when I first got started, you know, they said, oh, you got to go to 3 meetings a week, and, you know, got to call me every day. And I'm like, how do these people expect me to do all this? I mean, I'm a busy person. You know, I have a full-time job. I have kids. I have grandkids. I mean, I cannot be doing this craziness. And I won't even tell you how many meetings I go to today and how many people I talk to on the phone. I don't want to scare you off. But even with the food down, this is a progressive disease. And it does, you know, now I got to work on what's in between my ears, which is the hardest part of this. So, you know, I started listening to Vision for You. I heard something different there. I heard freedom, you know, from the fear of relapse. And the difference there was the talk of this higher power. And not that every other group doesn't talk about it, but the focus on having this spiritual awakening and getting a higher power. Because without a higher power, this is impossible. You know, what I do would be impossible. When I got here, I wanted nothing to do with God. I was mad at God. He had let me down. You know, he didn't save my first marriage. You know, my second marriage, I was married for 2 years. My husband got diagnosed with Parkinson's at the age of 56. And my life was not where I had expected it to be. And it was, you know, I wanted no parts of God. And I had been, you know, I had God in my life my whole life. But I truly think this disease stole that from me. The reason that it does is because when we're in our disease, at least let me speak for myself, when I'm in my disease, I am full of self-pity, resentment, self-loathing. I am, you know, I have run the pity party, woe is me, I'm the victim. And I look at everything as glass half empty. So getting the food down gave me the opportunity to have some clearer thoughts and to work on this relationship. And the big book talks about, you know, that you just need a little bit of willingness to crack the door. And that's all that we need. And it felt really hard. It took a long time for me to get this relationship back with my higher power. Another thing that I will fight tooth and nails to keep, because I never want to lose this again. Because peace and serenity is my new addiction. And I will fight like crazy to keep that. So, you know, I started off just, you know, reading the prayers from the big book. I Googled prayers from the big book. There's a website. You can print them all off. There's lots of like third step prayers. And I just started reading some of those. And, you know, gradually I started, you know, looking at getting a daily devotional. We were supposed to do 30 minutes a day in quiet time in 90 day. And I was like, oh, I could hardly do 5 minutes. I couldn't sit still and keep my brain shut for 30 minutes. So I thought, okay, well, we'll start with 15. And 15 turned into, you know, I would love 2 hours if I could get it, you know, but 30 minutes to an hour is great. I get up every morning. I wake up an addict every day. I have to get with God first. I try never to speak to anyone other than God first thing in the morning, because I won't be where I want to be. Because I still have that addict brain, you know. And so whatever I say here, I want to make sure I give God the glory, because and I think it happened slowly for me because God knew that I would take credit for it if it didn't happen slowly, because I am an egomaniac with an inferiority complex, another thing that the big book talks about. So this spiritual awakening, I started going to Vision for You, and I was there for a couple of years. I had some other addictions that God was helping me put down that I felt led to put down. One was overspending and one was busyness. I tend to have a little work addiction. So I was working on those things, and I got with a sponsor who took me through the steps again, and I got recovered. And when I say that, I mean I am free of the fear of relapsing. I'm free of the fear of picking up food. I still have to do, you know, my daily medicine, which is get up and pray, commit my food, send it to my sponsor before I take the first bite, stick to my food plan, weigh and measure my food, and do work with others, you know, sponsors, sponsees, call other recovered people in the program. I also, you know, do a nightly review. I do 10 steps when I feel, I do 10 steps usually with God, because typically when I have to do a 10 step, it's because someone's not doing what I want them to do when I want them to do it. And I can usually see that pretty quickly and ask God to, I'm not the higher power here. I forgot. I had spent my life trying to be the higher power in everybody's life. So usually I can turn that around really quickly, but if I can't, then I do a full 10 step where I write it out and I call another fellow. It's usually if something's just hanging on and I can't let it go. I did want to go over a little bit of, the doctor's opinion, because, you know, for new people, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, Dr. Silkworth was The medical director of one of the oldest hospitals in the country that treated alcohol and drug addiction. And he wrote this letter that is in the big book called The Doctor's Opinion. And he talked about meeting Bill and talked about how he was hopeless and that he came to him with this concept that he learned from the Oxford group. And he wanted to present that to other alcoholics. So anyway, Dr. Silkworth wrote this letter, but the couple of things that he said was that we alcoholics and food addicts, you know, if you just change the word alcohol to food addict and alcohol to food in the big book. So we alcoholics suffer from a seemingly hopeless mind and body. And if we are going to recover, we must believe that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as the mind. That we have a physical allergy to certain foods and food substances, and sometimes food behaviors. Some of those would be, eating in front of the TV or, eating standing up or weighing excessively throughout the day. So there's lots of different food behaviors and something a sponsor could help you look at and figure out. But so like I said, I had to really concede to my innermost self that this was me, that I was this chronic food addict that, when I picked up certain substances. And I have had multiple, examples of that in my life, where I've, thought I was free and clear and not eaten anything in 6 months. I could certainly have a piece of this after 6 months, and, off to the races. So, that's something you have to know within yourself. Until I really was able to accept that and admit it, I really wasn't willing to do the work, and I certainly wasn't willing to put the food down. And then he also says that, men and women drink because they like the effect that it creates. And he also talked about that when we get to the point of being helpless, that we need something more than human power to produce a psychic change. And that a psychic change was what was necessary for a real alcoholic to get recovered. And, I like to change the word psychic change to spiritual experience. And the big book talks a lot about having had a spiritual experience as a result of the steps. So, step three is my hardest step and the step that I love the most. I have to do it every day, all day, turn my will and life over to the care of a higher power. First, I had to believe that my higher, that there was a higher power and that it did care about me. That was the other thing I started off with. Can I believe that there is a God? Can I believe that God cares about me? And can I believe that God wants what's best for me? And that's really where I had to start. Because I really had convinced myself that God abandoned me and didn't care about me. And that was not true. That was my disease lying to me in my own voice, which our disease loves to do. It loves to tell us these lies. And if we're staying in our heads and not talking to other people, we believe those things. I believe for most of my life that I was not good enough, not pretty enough, not smart enough, not lovable enough. I don't know where I got those ideas, and it doesn't really matter, but they're wrong. But God, getting a relationship with my higher power has helped me to be able to challenge those beliefs and start to change them and heal them. God is healing them for me. I am good enough. I am smart enough. I am all of the things, I am a child of God. He doesn't make junk. There's a set aside prayer that I used to say that I like to say when I get stuck, God help me set aside everything I think I know about you, about myself, about my recovery, and about the 12 steps so that I can have an open mind and new experience. with you, myself, the 12 steps, and my recovery. It helped me to see the truth. So this program just has so many little nuggets, so many just, and the fellowship. I struggle, like I said, I still am an addict. I still, life is not perfect. I've lost a sister in abstinence, my father. I've had relationships come and go. I've changed jobs. I've moved. I've gone on vacation. I've done all these things, abstinent. And the hardest thing for me to do is to keep my emotional sobriety. And that's something that, sometimes I just had, a little relapse on my emotional sobriety a couple weeks ago over some relationships that weren't working the way I want them to, and had to go back to do some work around that. But that's, I believe, God, peeling the onion and just helping, like, we're going to go a little deeper now. We're going to go a little deeper. I'm like, no, I want to go any deeper. But I have spent my whole life looking for the answers outside myself, and the answers are inside. With the help of God and going inward, that's where the answers are. And that's where the joy is. Cause I'm growing to be able to look in the mirror, to like what I see, to accept myself for who I am. And to be able to be honest about who I am with other people, and learning who safe people and who aren't safe people. I don't have to share everything about me with everyone. What else I want to share? I'm not going anywhere. This is my, you are my people. This is my group. This is where I have, matured, and I'm growing up emotionally, taking ownership of being a grown up. And, I know God has a lot more in store for me, and I'm just real excited. I'm getting ready to retire at the end of this year. My husband and I have a camper. We're going to go travel. And I'm going to be one of those people that say, I don't know where I found time to work. I don't know how, So, but that's been another journey of fear of, money and economic insecurity that I've had to walk through. And, most of the time I walk through these things and it's okay. I mean, fear is a normal, healthy emotion. I have a lot of unrealistic fears, but, as I've walked through all of this over the last 8 years, the more I walk through it and get through it, the more that builds my God's trust muscle. And I start trusting him just a little bit more. And yes, I'm, still have a little fear about, what's going to look like when I'm retired, but I know that it's going to be okay. And I can walk through the fear. It was paralyzing fear about 2 years ago. I had to do a lot of 10 steps and a lot of phone calls about a lot of fear inventories. But, that just helps, I only get to see God through my rear view mirror. I have to live life through my front window. So sometimes I have to walk through hard stuff and I don't see it until I get to the end or through it, that God was walking with me the whole way. I didn't connect. Today I try to stay real close. I ask God to hold my hand. I was at the dentist the other day and I don't like the dentist. I freak out and I'm sitting there with clenched hands and I'm like, okay, God, just hold my hand. And I just envision God holding my hand while I was at the dentist. I kind of calmed down and I relaxed. And if I can keep God with me all day, I have a much better day. Sometimes I take it back and I start to think I've got to control and fix and manipulate it. But that's just, me being human and progress, not perfection. The only thing we got to get perfect, we got to get the food down and work the steps. If we do that, we'll be okay. And I think that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Colleen.